This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Curve Corner. It's another fabulous Wednesday, and I am Nolu Thando Nkosi, and I'm hanging out with, wait for it.
Yo, this is Andy Lekunene, half man, half amazing, cool as ice and twice as nice. Now that's the intro.
And today this ain't never had a bad day in my life.
I thought I'd leave that for the end of the show today.
Okay, well, sorry for messing you up there.
Nah, it's cool. How are you doing?
I'm good. So nice. Thank you.
Is gray like officially like your thing?
Yeah, gray is my color. I love gray.
Okay.
So we're still talking dream chasers. I think you can never ever finish the topic of dream chasers.
Yeah, of course.
And today we've got an awesome dream chaser in studio. He goes by the name Qiniso Ntuli. And Q.
Hello, from
Royal Square.
From Royal Square Financial,
yes.
There you go. So Q is a different type of dream chaser. You know, there's the, you think dream chasers and there's all these people that we think of like movie makers, you know, like what we consider
the cool fun stuff.
Q is a financial person.
He's a serious side.
Yep.
Which
he's
I think is the most important side.
True.
Of all dream chasing.
True.
that we all seem to fuck up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Qiniso, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you
very much for coming. So, Jago Utando has been saying that we've been going through this series of dream chasers, and we've had a musician here. Who else do we? Oh, and the other
day. A pilot.
We had a pilot as well.
An aviator.
Yeah, an aviator. And we've spoken in general the journey that an entrepreneur takes into being an entrepreneur, but we've never touched on the financial aspect of it.
Okay.
Now, being an entrepreneur myself, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 18, you know. And
late start. Not bad.
It was a pretty late start.
Yeah.
It was a pretty late start, you know. And making the money has always been easy.
Yes.
Keeping it is the freaking problem.
Okay.
You know, what are we doing wrong? Do you see a trend in people, entrepreneurs specifically, mucking about with their finances?
Yes. Okay, as far as money goes, there's three phases to money. There's the acquisition phase, which is probably 90% of us are still obsessed with the acquisition phase.
Yeah.
Then there's the retention. So that's actually keeping the money, living off the money, enjoying your money, experiencing life from your money. And then the hardest part is then transferring the money. And that seems to be always the most difficult part, is getting your money into, turning your money into generational money. You'll see guys like Christo Visa just recently experienced how hard that can be. You know, I think he just wiped out about 210 billion.
200,
rand.
Quick overnight.
You know, just quick like overnight stuff.
Overnight.
And
the legend.
It's actually the source of this stigma of new money. People just always look at people who are very wealthy, but are first generation wealth.
Sure.
And they say, you are still new money. Because they
They know
how much work goes into
to transferring
wealth from generation to generation. And you get countries like Italy, I think even Germany, where you've got lots of companies that are seventh generation. So where you've managed to transfer money from one from the original entrepreneur seven generations deep.
Like Ferrero Rocher.
Ferrero Rocher is one. Illy Coffee, those kind of companies.
It's all family run still.
Exactly.
And I think they turned over 10 billion euros last year.
Just last year. Just 2017.
No, that's not a bad year.
Sort a few of SARS's problems.
10 billion euros is a lot. So what's the process? What's the process? Look, I think everybody knows at this stage how to register a company and all of that.
Sure.
I would already want to get into that nonsense because everybody does it. I mean, F&B does it for you for free now.
Exactly.
You just, it's easy. Now, I've started this company and an internet cafe. Or whatever in 2018 because people are still doing that, right? I started
I'm judging.
Don't start an internet cafe in 2018. What is this?
Well, it depends on your location. Leave other children alone.
Don't
you know, some areas still need internet cafes.
You know,
just because you've got Wi-Fi and data.
In the north.
Just because you're in the north. There's people who are in dire need of internet cafes.
So I've started this internet cafe. I've got my computers in. I've got the internet line in and it's running. And people are coming in every single day. But now I've got this problem that I'm facing. This money that, that people are paying. I'm using it to buy food and underwear and and I'm living with this money. How
so you're not seeing your profits?
I'm not seeing anything.
Yeah.
I'm just getting money and taking the money and buying things with it.
Okay.
That can't
be. So is the issue that the money's not enough? Or is it the issue your underwear doesn't get washed? You just buy underwear every time.
No, you know, I think for me,
that's one way to look at it.
For me, I think the money is always enough.
Okay.
Right. Well, you can get more, but in order to run a professional business, I think you can run it professionally, whether you're making 100 rand a day or 1,000 rand a day or 10 million rand a day, which is the goal.
Okay.
you understand?
Yeah.
So where do you think that the disconnect comes in? Or do we just not have financial literacy at all?
Financial literacy is very low in South Africa. That's a given. And that's not a black thing either. It's across the board. Financial literacy is very low. It creates for a very big LSM 1-5 kind of grouping. Sure. So that's the first problem. The second problem is many people go into business because of financial necessity.
Okay.
So they don't actually have a unique offering. You know, you saw that this guy's car wash is working, so you also open a car wash.
Yeah.
And then there's another car wash like three streets down, or there's a bottle store on every corner, a hair salon everywhere. So people are not actually servicing a need.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. The second is that people don't know why they're in business. Is there some greater purpose that you're called to?
Sure.
Or something that you're working on as your own personal dream?
Yeah.
Because every time you have the opportunity to spend the money, you always do it in the context of what is the purpose of what I'm doing?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so if now the millionaires row opens up a new shop and then, you know, there's sales, I don't know what even goes on in that part of Sandton City.
Yeah.
But when that happens and you've got maybe 250,000 rand in your business account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, there's a very strong justification why you need to be there.
Yeah, because I need to buy a Rolex.
You know, you need to buy a Rolex. You need to be seen to be at that function and things like that. So you get carried away with the LSMers.
Sure.
You know, and then you keep repeating the start cycle.
Okay.
Where you're not growing anything, you're not creating
anything. Yes.
You're currently in a business that is turning over.
Okay.
Yeah. And then obviously trends eventually go against you and you haven't built anything. So then that's when you're out.
And then you have
just
to,
like that. Then you're starting all over
then
again.
Then you have to start over again.
Then you have to start a car wash from scratch.
Okay.
Yes.
Outside of the Chisanyam.
But I mean, that trend is also relevant for people that are not entrepreneurs, that are actually just everyday 9-to-5ers.
Yeah, that's the crisis group.
when the crisis group.
Yeah, no, the 9-to-5ers. You know, look, we need 9-to-5ers.
Yeah, true.
No entrepreneur can build a business without 9-to-5ers.
True.
Yeah.
So there is a place for the 9-to-5ers.
Yeah.
But I believe that every single person actually has something that makes them get out of bed in the morning, and it's generally not your dream.
Sure.
They've got their own dream. Sure. So they need you to carry them so far in their dream until they have to leave you.
Yeah.
So the whole 40-year service idea, you know, that Rolex that you get for 40. That's not really a Rolex. It's more like a Seiko.
Yeah, it's definitely not a Rolex. You know,
citizen.
Exactly, citizen. You've been working in one place for 40 years. The question is, what was your actual objective?
Why were you there? Why did you continue? Why did you stay on for all of those years?
You know what I mean? And some people just get fulfillment from
being
able to have served somebody else.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, and those are fantastic people to have, because then you can actually rely on them when you are out there expanding, when you're out there finding new opportunities.
Sure.
That person behaves as though they were you while you're away.
Yes.
And they're a seriously rare commodity.
They really are.
I'm a loyalist.
Yeah.
I don't think you find them anymore.
No.
You do.
They recently left the ANC, but that's another subject.
Yeah.
I think you do. I think it's just a matter of, I mean, you know, being an entrepreneur myself, I've met quite a few people who I've, you know, when you look at someone and you're like, yo, I wish I could hire you on the spot. Like, if I had the means, I would hire you on the spot, because you meet these people who are not appreciated where they are, or who you just see just go over and above, you know. Just this morning, as we're filling up at the petrol station, this guy was brand new, he was a trainee, but the initiative that this guy had, you know, like the speed point ran out of the paper or whatever, and you know, another person in his position could have just gone, oh no, no, now what do I do? Or just sat back. Or he was running around ensuring that he gets the right person to fill it up, because clearly he doesn't know how to do it yet, or he doesn't know how to manage the machine once you've put it in, you know, in order to get the slip back or whatever. But it's little things like that that show you that this guy is going to, number one, not even, he's going to be here for a shorter time than the rest of the attendants, because he's got a plan, or he's of a different attitude.
He's got,
you know,
cognitive abilities.
There we go.
It goes back to that. He thinks.
He thinks.
And that's what makes the difference, right? And yes, I can't wait to get money. I've got three people lined up where I'm like, when I'm going to hire you, I'm going to hire you.
You can always just tell us who these three people are.
People that are ready to hire.
So Glynis is hiring.
The Royal Square is taking CVs.
Send your CV, but don't be unemployed.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You must have problem solving ability.
Yeah, just don't be unemployed. And I mean, that goes a lot, and especially for a dream chaser like yourself. I mean, you're in an industry that is very...
Yo, that was deep.
It's the one.
It's very gated. I don't know what English word to use now.
Gated sounds good.
But it's hard to get in for someone.
Yes.
Because you're a financial advisor, you're an asset manager, you all the fun things, you know. But a lot of your kind of people are sitting working for the big guys, you know.
Sure. Alan Gray, Coronation, Alex Falls.
And that's where it's kind of the barrier to entry there is not as hectic as you starting up your own thing and then you seeing a Tando and going, come, let me help you with your money. Exactly. And I'm thinking, guy, you are not an Old Mutual. Who are you?
Exactly.
You're going to steal my money.
Where's your office?
I've
never heard of you.
And what do you drive?
How was the accreditation with the FSB? That must be a schlep.
Yes. So the accreditation process, I did it in 2009, 2007 to 2009.
Yeah.
And how they've drafted the accreditation, it's almost impossible
to get.
Okay.
Because what they require is that you need to have managerial experience.
Yeah.
And managers who work for corporations don't have sales experience.
Oh. Yes.
And managers generally are not registered as reps at the FSB.
Yes.
So the requirements to start your own FSP requires that you have both.
Okay.
So it is...
How do you go about getting that?
Exactly. You basically have to start another business...
To sell insurance first.
That where you are the manager there, and you oversee a team.
Yeah.
And then in the business that you work in, which is not conflicting with that other business, then that's where you are a rep. Or you have to go and get somebody who already has a license to then come in and stand in on your license as a key individual until such time as you've got the relevant experience, which is at this stage around 2 years.
Okay, but that's not too bad.
But
I mean, you know, when you...
When somebody's standing in on your license, they are, in effect, creating a competitor for themselves.
Yes, indeed.
So it would be not as easy. I mean, I had one...
And it would have been smart on my on my side to go, oh, I've got a license, I'm going to stand in on his behalf.
Yeah.
That time he's going to create a business that...
Wipes
almost,
you out.
Yeah.
Because now you're an employer where you could have been the creator or whatever yourself.
I had a key individual, actually, who used to work at Alexander Forbes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for mentioning Alexander Forbes.
No, go ahead.
This is not an endorsement or anything.
Not an ad.
You know? And she was given permission to be a key individual.
Yeah.
So I got my license and everything, and I started going through the motions. And suddenly, she was just told she needs to get off the license.
Oh.
Hmm.
And now I've got an existing business
that
now has no key individual.
Yeah. Giants
at
just
the end of the
crush
month,
you now.
Exactly. At the end of the month, you have no license. You're going to lose that license.
What a big business, huh?
You know, exactly. And then it was like, okay, so you need to go and take these exams, which take about 2 months to, if you studied every hour of every day, you'd be able to write these exams and pass them.
It'll take 2 months.
Doesn't have a very high pass rate.
Yeah.
This is, you've got 7 days to get this sorted out. You know, so I then contacted a trainer, a person who does training in short-term insurance, to ask, is it possible?
Yeah.
And he said it's possible, but, you know, it's not something that happens regularly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to stop working and just study for that.
Yeah.
Until the exam date. So
you stopped working and
put on some Ministry of Sound, the Chill Out album.
Oza.
Studied for 7 straight days.
Yeah.
Took the test, did the assignments, submitted the things, and got the FSB approval.
Oh, look at
managed
me now.
Managed to keep going. You know what I mean? But it's in small things like that where if they start seeing that, okay, this guy is...
He's not failing.
He's working.
Yeah.
He's working. Oh, no, we're going to crush his
head
now.
Maybe let's just release him from his responsibilities. You know, so one of the things now that I have is I get approached by a lot of other FSPs
who
are looking to partner on licenses because I've got every possible FSP license that one can have. You know, so we've got contracts with all the big players.
Yeah.
We're really, really, really a wide base right now. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I mean, that just shows that, you know, whatever barrier you've put in front of someone, if they really want something,
going back to the dream chaser thing. 7 days
for something that other people can't get to.
Listen, I wouldn't even be able to learn anything in 7 days and
remember it.
Like high school stuff. Right. I'd still fail high school stuff. But in terms of portfolios that, entrepreneurs should they have, where do they start, what do you suggest? There's a lot of talk about cryptocurrencies right now and forex trading and all of that, and I mean forex trading is pretty old. It's been done since there was, you know, currency, but it seems to be a buzzword right now. Do you suggest anybody go into that? Because I don't know if you know, but you know, Insta Life, hey, these guys are slaying here on Forex.
No, for sure.
I know, they are killing us.
Perception is key, though.
They are killing us with their Vrpas and their whatever other cars. And, you know, and all it seems like is that they've got an internet connection and a laptop. I've got an internet connection and a laptop.
And yet you're not Vrpaying.
I'm not Vrpaying.
Look, there are many people who are endorsed. Yeah. So, people who go to Paris and get their engagement done
on
a social media platform.
Yeah.
Sure.
Those people drive a certain consumer behavior in the lower LSMs.
Yes.
Now everybody aspires to go and do that same thing. Unfortunately, the lower LSMs are going to have to pay for their own flight to get to Paris.
Yes, of course.
Pay for everything on their own.
Yeah.
And so their Insta what is not going to be as glamorous because they actually had to pay for everything. However, the people who generally do it have already been paid for by the owners
of
getting to Paris.
Yeah.
Of the hotels, of the packages, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So similarly with this Forex craze, there's nothing wrong with Forex trading. Governments do it all the time.
Yeah.
Companies do it all the time.
Sure. Banks do it all the time.
There is no company that has a higher reason to be buying these software packages that can make you a Forex billionaire than SAA.
Yeah.
Because they always got Forex problems. You know, they bought planes at the wrong time. Now they have fuel problems, etc.
Sure.
You're not going to... It takes really a lot of time to be sitting there all day investing very small amounts of money to be making any money in Forex. 90% of people who do Forex lose money.
Okay.
So the best thing that one can do in Forex is to be the trader.
Okay.
You just create them. You just are an intermediary
in
the market.
An intermediary.
Whether the people are making money or not, you get your
cut and you
move on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, similarly, cryptocurrencies, there's a lot of that happening.
Yeah.
Where the exchanges have got huge margins. You know, you put in 100,000, you only get to invest 98.
Yeah.
They've already made 2,000 on your money.
Of course.
Whether the cryptocurrency
goes up or down,
they've made their money and then you pay again to get out.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course you pay again to get out. You know, you're not going to get your full money when you're coming but you may make money, you may not make money, but that's really neither here nor there for them. We've had a lot of clients who wanted cryptocurrency. You know, looking,
it feels like easy money. I mean, everyone wants,
and this all
money.
Started in January 2017 when now Bitcoin was going crazy.
Bitcoin went crazy last
4 years after Bitcoin.
So
the first question I always ask my clients is, what is it?
Yeah,
I don't know, but everybody's making money from it.
Sure.
I was like, okay, that's one way to invest. You know,
yeah, yeah.
You generally need to know.
Everybody's making money, guys. Yeah.
Listen. It looks like a good thing.
You know? And it's like, so how will you know when it's time to get out?
Yeah.
Because are you just going to buy in and then never get out? So this may become a future currency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Long down the line.
Yeah.
It probably won't happen in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it will happen, so I can't speak for that. But from an investing perspective, you want to always put money in something that you have reasonable visibility in getting a return.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in the future buying Bitcoin at 350,000 when you think it's going to get to 500,000.
Yeah.
But when you're wanting to buy it at 10,000 because you think it's going to get to
100,000.
Forget it.
But it's still really, really dodgy.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think about ETFs? Is that a pop topic now?
No. ETFs are nice. Yeah. You know, they're reasonably good for people who don't want to do the work.
Okay.
But what ETFs have done is that they've driven a spiral upward. You know, so the more money that goes into ETFs, the higher share prices have to go.
Sure.
Because when I come with a new 100,000, that same ETF has to buy the shares in proportion to its
mandate. Its pool. Yeah.
Exactly, to how the thing has been designed.
Sure.
So they buy and buy and buy and buy and buy. There will come a time when ETFs have reached a peak.
Okay.
And the cycle turns.
Yeah.
And they will have to sell.
Yes. Yes.
In the same way that they had to buy.
Yeah.
So what an active manager gets to do is to say, I see this share price is falling.
Mm.
I'm going to buy more of the share price because what is happening is not rational.
Mm. Mm.
An ETF cannot do that. Mm. An ETF has to rebalance.
Sure.
It must always look like the index, and it allows for a very, very small, what's called a tracking error. You know, so 0.1% or something of this nature. Mm. So they can't just say, what's this? Naspers is falling.
Sure.
And we think everybody's got it wrong.
Yeah.
So we are just going to buy Naspers.
Yeah.
Outside of their mandate.
Yes.
Only active managers can do that. So it will eventually play in the opposite direction as it's played in the upward cycle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm very, very cautious of
ETF,
that type of thing.
Okay. So how's your journey been? Outside of the 7 days,
like the 7 days
when you got dropped. Where are you from?
Maybe I'm from Soweto.
Let's take it back to the beginning.
Oh, the hood of hoods.
I'm from DK.
You're from DK. Yeah, it's in Bougie Town.
Bougie Town.
No, valid. I mean, like, why you got a stuffer? You know,
Bougie Town.
Why you got a stuffer?
So Linus has been living in bouginess.
I was living in the north. He's in from the township.
Yeah, he's from the north of Soweto.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, you're from Soweto.
Yeah.
So, did you grow up in an environment where you were taught about money, or did you just grow up like most black people?
My grandfather used to pray for money.
Okay.
So
that's always a solid plan.
That's a solid plan
of getting money.
We started by praying for money, and we used to pray every night.
Yeah.
And we weren't praying for money to buy food and things like that.
Sure.
His prayer was, may we have so much money that we need shovels,
and
real barrels because otherwise, to carry it.
That is a prayer.
Yeah, that is a real one.
You know,
you're not praying to get by.
No, we're not praying to get by.
Yeah.
We're from a very educated family, so we valued
education,
valued music. We didn't really get involved in too much other things other than that, education and music. My parents were both doctors since about 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, you lived in DK?
Well, by then, we're living in Medunza. So before that, there were teachers and things like this. And my dad was a software guy at IBM. But when then they moved to Medunza, we went to stay with my grandmother. And then eventually they graduated. We're all staying in Soshanguve. So we moved to Soshanguve because, you know, so it was getting a bit hot around those times.
Yeah.
It was getting interesting. What do you mean?
It was getting a bit hot.
That's when it was getting great.
Getting great, but not for financial return. You know, so my dad was in private practice. He still is in private practice. And my mother was in private practice. We went to school in private schools in Pretoria, etc.
Okay.
Now, not realizing that we never actually saw our parents go to work.
Hmm.
So the concept of going to work was never modeled for us.
Which is great. I think that's...
Which is fantastic.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But they didn't know that they were modeling to us self-employment.
Yes.
Sure. They were just running private practice.
Yes. Sure.
It was only much later that now you start to interact with people who actually go to work and sit in traffic and get to apply for leave.
And you're like, what is this?
You know, and you're thinking, what?
Yeah,
and you went to university for this?
Yeah, this is not
my life. They say you have 21 days, but they have to say yes.
Exactly.
Before you can take it.
They'll tell you which 21 days you can have. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So small things like that actually impact you.
Yes.
Definitely.
You know? And a lot of parents do not realize that what they're modeling for their kids is significantly more powerful than what they're saying to their
kids.
Yes. Yes, of course.
So our parents were saying to us, we all need to go get jobs.
Yes, of course.
We all need to go and get these degrees and things like this. They're still not 100% comfortable with this concept of what we are all doing because nobody really has a job anymore. I don't think anyone has a job. My one sister's got a job. And she's
I think some people have jobs.
No, in his family.
In my family, there's only one person.
But it's so strange how they find that uncomfortable when they don't have jobs themselves.
But they never saw it as that.
No, I get that.
They saw it as a job.
You know,
with a hectic degree backing it.
Yes.
You know, now my sister's in music, my other sister...
That must have been fun to explain.
Yeah, we just fought for her. We're just like, no, don't do it. Don't force her. Just let her do the music. And she's doing very well.
That's good.
I mean, she's working with Spike Lee.
There you go.
I mean, listen. Come on.
So, you know, Spike Lee's number. No,
we can arrange it.
Let's arrange it. Yeah.
So, those types of things. And then early on, my mother used to give us pocket money. You know, she's used 5 rand a month.
Mm.
And we needed to have change at the end of the month to get another 5 rand.
Sorry?
Nice.
Yeah. That was how the thing goes.
Nice.
So what you do, you take 1 cent, you put it to the side where you know this 1 cent is my insurance policy.
Yeah.
I will never not have change.
I will never not have 1 cent.
I can blow this for 4.99 every month. But this 1 cent is the sacred one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you blow that 1 cent, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose that also spoke to you about... saving.
Delayed gratification.
Yeah.
You know, the
cycle
of money.
All the values you need to keep your money.
I mean, imagine if she had given us the whole 60 rand up front. We would have just died. But anyway.
So Cluniso comes from a different time, guys, where you could still buy things with 1 cent coins.
you could put them away.
Actually,
I still collect those kind of coins. You know?
Okay. Do they still make one?
No. 1 cent. The 5 cent.
It's they like make the 5 cent now.
The 5 cent and the 10 cent coin. You'll never believe. No.
People throw those away.
No black person wants it.
No. We saw a girl at the mall the other day. Her purse spilled out.
Yeah.
Maragua, I'm a 10 cent. Just 10 cent coin. And she just went. And Andile picked one up and gave it to her. And she was like. Thanks.
It was at the Gautrain station.
You know what I mean?
Yes, it was at the Gautrain station.
And then you go and put money into a 32-day notice account.
Yeah.
And see how much interest they give you after 30 days. They give you less than 10 cents.
Yeah.
But you're going to ask them, hey, how come I didn't get my interest?
Yeah.
But there you are, busy throwing around
coins. You're throwing away I'm a 10 cent. And I'm a 10 cent day 10 is one rand.
Yeah. So that's, again, it's financial literacy.
You've brought up a very interesting topic there with the 32-day notice accounts.
Yeah.
Those are a trick,
look,
ne?
Those are shit. I don't see myself ever putting in whatever it is. I mean, and I think in order to get something like 6% from a 32-day account, you need to put in over R1 million.
But
or something, you know. And what am I doing getting?
But here's
6%
the thing, Andy. It goes back to exactly what we've been saying. People don't have the financial literacy.
Yep.
So when you say to someone, "You're gonna get money back." People forget to ask the next question, how much money am I getting back for the amount of time that you have my money?
Yeah.
So it also goes back to how, you know, back in the day, our parents used to save money in a mattress or whatever.
Sure.
And if your house burns down, Isan, your riches burn down. But it was that whole
thing.
Like
what happened in Greece.
Yes.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But it's that whole thing, Yoguti. Then you sell people a new ideal, you know. So if your house burns down, your money won't burn down because we'll have it in a pocket for you, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll not only just keep it for you.
We'll grow it,
you know. And then that's all you listen to and you think, oh my goodness, this is so amazing.
Mm.
But you don't ask the next question. So then people are fooling themselves into thinking that the bank is on your side, whereas the bank is borrowing other people your money to make themselves more
fractional
money.
Reserve banking.
That's all it is.
most of the time, the bank is borrowing you
your money. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the bank is borrowing you your very own money.
Sure.
And we're not thinking of that. We're just thinking, oh, it's safe. It's the right thing to do. Yep. And you know what? In 5 years, I'm going to make 500 rand.
Yeah, off of this 50,000 rand that I've just put in.
And for you, that's enough because you're comfortable in the fact that you're getting something back.
You can't even get your money if you wanted to use it.
Exactly. No.
And they tell you when you get your money back.
And that's not the critical part. The critical part is that the primary users of this 32-day account is the Stokvel Market.
Mm.
Yes.
This is not 50,000 rand a month kind of money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is the kind of money that can change the future economies. Of the township economy.
Yeah.
Now, this money is put into 32-day accounts, and then it is individually loaned out to the same members of Stokvel.
Yes.
Because they've always got a need.
Of course.
Yes, you know, and that need can never be addressed by waiting for another 32 days.
Yes.
So the bank gives them short-term loans. Mm. The interest rates will range between 26 and 31%.
Daylight robbery.
And so we'll give you your money at 26 to 31%. Mm. And we'll.
But it's your money.
Exactly. And we'll hold your money.
Yeah.
Well, and pay you 2% when you come and give it to us. Mm. You know, so we make 24 to 29% margin on your money.
Mm.
This is what you actually, this is the cost of that product. You know, you could have taken that money, gone to see a financial professional and had a much better plan for your money.
Could have gone to Royal Square.
You could have come to Royal Square, we would have sorted you out.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is we have been following this trail of this group of people.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are getting closer and closer to them.
Okay.
Whereby we will be able to actually start sharing this information.
Yes, you know, yes.
I mean, that's amazing.
Because education at the end of the day of the type of financial literacy we're talking about is probably the most important thing to have in my class.
Because
we don't know any of these things. Maybe walk us through some of your products or what you do exactly. So I'm an individual right now, right? And I want to take care of my money. Maybe I make 10,000, 12,000 rands a month.
Okay.
Right? 3,000 rands goes to rent. 1,500 goes to paying my car off, and maybe I'm left over with like 6 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. But I want to do something with it. I'm not really an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But I want to do something with it, and I need it to grow, and I need it to work for me. I come to Qiniso. Go.
Okay. The bulk of what we do is start with what is it that you're trying to get achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The products are a byproduct of our primary service, which is advice.
Yes.
So our job is really to understand most of the financial products.
Yeah.
Most of the credit products, the cars, the houses, the trends, and everything like this.
Sure.
And then almost like a social worker or a psychologist.
Okay.
We get into your ideas about money.
Yes.
What is your first memory of money?
Yes.
What is your attitude towards money? You get people who have never had to save. They've always had money in their houses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those people struggle with forward thinking. They've just, it's like, why must I put away?
Sure.
You know, I've never had lack. And then the opposite of that also exists, which is the people who are from extreme poverty.
Poverty. And they save everything.
They are so, they're such high income earners, but they can't touch the money.
Yeah.
Because no matter how much they have, they are still,
they're
scared. That reality
if
this money gets finished, you're, I'm in a mess.
It's bad.
You know, so you then have to color the life in away from money. It's like, what is it that you actually want to do with your life? You know, what places do you want to see? What impact do you want to have on society?
Sure.
What personal goals do you have?
Sure.
Then from there, we can then say, what behaviors need to change?
Okay.
What financial products will help you with that change of behavior?
You do an audit on their lives.
We're doing a life audit, a goal audit more than anything else.
Okay.
And then only then do you start matching it to what products can help you.
Okay.
We always start with getting a risk out of your system. So protect what you have now.
Sure.
So at the very worst, this is always the bottom for you.
Yes.
And then you start, you know, moving up.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is the cost of risk, the cost of getting somebody else to take the risk on your behalf.
Yeah.
Is usually the end of a person's budget.
Yes.
So they think, you know, if I buy insurance, that means this many less drinks, this many less movies.
I can't be a blesser.
You know, I already have somebody who's, that insurance premium is dedicated to.
Sure.
So my BMW drives around with no insurance.
Yes.
In Johannesburg.
Yes.
And then in 2018, the inevitable happens.
Yeah.
And the BMW walks.
Yeah, of course.
The bank comes and explains to you that that's got nothing to do with us.
Yeah, sorry.
We've got an arrangement here. You owe us this much money, and we expect it on
Boy,
time
does that hurt.
Every time.
Yeah.
And then the person's back into public transport situations.
But paying for
but
a paying, BMW.
But paying still paying for the BMW. BMW, yeah.
That person is worse off than everybody around them in a taxi.
Yes.
Because at least they don't have the BMW to pay for.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
his recovery period can be easily in 5 to 7 years' time. Or longer, depending on how he handles it, you know. And I've seen countless examples of this situation. This is just one of the very basic ones, you know. People who their cell phone gets stolen. I mean, I've had 2 cell phones stolen. You know,
so
we live in South Africa, but literally, your cell phone gets stolen. You do the admin. You phone the
insurance company.
You go to the police station.
They almost don't want to give you your money back.
No, they give it to you. No stress.
Really?
None at all. You insured the thing. It's not your problem.
Yeah.
You phone the thing, you blacklist the phone, you go to the police station, and then they pay you, you go and buy a new phone. You know, like, you can't afford to be holding a 13,000 to 25,000 rand phone.
Yeah, without insurance.
Without insurance.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, you'd think that people get that.
No, they don't get it. So when the phone gets stolen, then they go back to those drug dealer phones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You know,
the burner phone.
I'm a burner phone.
I'm a burner phone.
On movies, they're the cool phones.
Drug dealer phones.
But in real life, they are the green light phones.
We see everybody's phone?
No.
It's the ones without the GPS location.
It's the ones where you don't need data.
Yeah, you don't need data.
But you know, speaking on blacklisting. This is also another really big word that black people are afraid of. Mm. And I don't know, maybe white people are afraid of this word too, but I don't really know enough white people.
White people are much more afraid of it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think white people actually understand the impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I want to walk us through that. Mm. There's a lot of these things that, I mean, TransUnion will send you emails talking about, oh, there's no such thing as blacklisting, and people
you can
are scaring
get out of it very quickly,
or whatever. But just walk us through the thing. So I've defaulted on my loans, I'm dead broke, and I've gone to legal, and MPD attorneys is calling me every day, and I still can't pay them, you know.
Mm.
And now I'm blacklisted. What does that actually mean? How do I get out of it? Is there a way to get out of it that does not require me paying Joe from down the road who says, I'll give you 5,000 and, you know, I'll sort you out. You'll be shining again next week. You know, what's the process there?
The whole blacklisting economy.
Yeah.
It's the police of the financial industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So the whole financial industry is designed on debt.
Yes.
And access to debt.
Yes.
South Africa was recently put on terms as a country to say, we are going to blacklist you.
Yes. Whole junk status.
The junk status.
Yeah.
Junk status is in effect when countries get blacklisted.
Okay.
So they said, we're warning you on such and such a day, time, etc. We're going to blacklist you if you don't make the changes that are required.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So the guys decided, okay, we're going to change the president. We're going to change the cabinet. We're going to reduce the cabinet. We're going to increase taxes, which is basically increasing your income.
Mm.
You know, so those are the kind of things that an individual has to figure out.
Mm.
Is that you need to increase your income.
Yeah.
You need to cut your expenses. You need to stop spending.
Mm.
You need to do whatever it takes to get your expenses below your income.
Your income.
And you need to make sure you do not miss a payment, a debt payment.
Yeah.
Once you miss a debt payment, everything starts to spiral.
Okay.
You know, besides that, the fact that the interest then keeps running away with the whole thing.
Sure.
But your quality as a creditor,
debtor,
as a debtor starts to reduce.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's basically the
situation. But I can get out of it.
It's not something you want to try and get into.
You know. I don't think anyone tries to get into it.
I think people fall into it, you know, because it all comes back to the understanding of money. And the picture that gets painted to us through high school, you know, you want to go to school, you want to study, and the moment you start working, all of a sudden your phone
things
is blowing up.
Things make sense. Yeah.
Phone's blowing up. It's APSA calling you. They want to give you 100,000.
It's
and boy, is it hard not to, know, say no, thank you.
That's just
no,
the
thank you.
Man.
I don't want 100,000.
That's just a regular person.
This is just a regular person.
If you qualify as a CA, or a doctor, or a lawyer, you're getting paid. You're not going to get a call from APSA.
Yeah,
you're going to get a call from Investec.
Hello.
Listen
now, as a black person.
Yeah.
Everybody's been waiting for that call.
It's
like, when I'm paying, the horse must walk across the table.
Yeah, of course.
You know, people need to know.
Yeah.
So people generally just take that one without asking questions.
Yeah.
They will put you in BMW situations. And,
everything
in your lives is just now about debt.
Yeah.
Now, what debt does is it wakes people up in the morning.
Yes.
It keeps
it's your
very,
reason
yeah,
for it.
Yeah. It's just your reason.
Yeah. You know? It's your why.
A lot of these people, you'll find them crying in the bathrooms, you know, like they want to leave this job, they can't stand it, etc.
Sure.
Et cetera.
But they got to stay.
But the debt,
there's a BMW.
Is always able to bring them back to their senses.
Yeah.
Is that you cannot leave here because of this debt.
Mm.
An opportunity comes up for them to break out and start their own opportunities, their own businesses, partner with different people.
Sure.
And they're always the response is, I just need to finish this debt.
Sure.
So that I don't have the risk.
Sure.
You know, so now what debt is starting to do is even is controlling
your
ability
future.
To take to take risks.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so the mismanagement of debt is absolutely it's the biggest debilitator in our financial setup.
Mm.
So this is why a white person who understands this, as soon as they see those kind of letters, they start to try and figure things out.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's buying long lotto tickets, you know, that's just really not a good financial strategy. But anyway, they buy them.
The praying strategy was better.
The praying strategy was much better.
Yeah, oh, but so if much you catch better. That 1 million.
You know? I mean, I've seen a couple. I was in Greenside, actually. They come out of an X5, white couple, reasonably probably in their 40s and things.
Mm.
And they go into the spa in Greenside and they bought lotto ticket.
Yeah.
The lotto ticket looked like a roll.
From
Macro. Have you seen those Macro receipts?
Exactly.
And you just bought socks.
Exactly. It looked like a Macro receipt, you know?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, this is hectic. Eh? Like, is this what's going on with white people?
Yeah.
You know, like, black people, they must first dream about something.
Yeah.
And then those are the numbers.
Yeah.
You can't.
You don't just play numbers.
Yeah.
You know, when you're black.
A dead person.
Exactly. When you're black, your grandmother, the first thing when you wake up. What did you dream? Because every dream has a number associated to it.
So now,
if
you've got a Macro kind of lotto ticket, you spent the whole time sleeping.
Yeah.
And obviously,
called your whole family or something.
You know what I mean? So the people who are in debt understand that debt is going to cripple you. And there's lots of various financial advisors who are going to tell you there's good debt, there's bad debt.
Yeah.
I believe there's mismanaged debt only.
Okay.
And there's managed debt.
Yeah.
There is no good debt.
Yeah.
Buying a house on credit is as bad an idea as buying a car on credit.
Yeah.
There's also, why must a house be paid over 20 years when a car is paid over 5? You know, so that's another scam by the bank. The actual interest payment is more than the actual value of the house.
Of the house,
that's true.
You know, so okay, you take them up on their offer. Yes, yes, give me that money. I'll pay you over the next 30 years.
And people tell you, but a house is an asset. You know?
And then you pay them off in 5 years. You're just like, let's squash this thing. Like,
if
you can't pay it off in 5 years, you probably can't afford the house.
Okay.
Go and see the investment guy.
Okay.
Make the payments that you would have made into the house into an investment.
Okay.
5 years later, let's go and see about the house again. You know what I mean?
That's it.
So in the last, let's say, 20 years in South Africa, that strategy would have not worked in your favor because house prices were going up at a rate that
it was stupid.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't happen anywhere like that in the world.
Yeah, it was stupid.
But going forward, I don't see house prices doing 35% per year.
Do you think they're going to stabilize now?
They may. You know, I mean, there's still
this. This is the hope.
There's the conversation going on right now, which has got an 18-month performance deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Expropriation without compensation.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of people very nervous.
Very.
It's like, okay, so should I buy if I'm not clear on what's going to be the outcome?
Yeah.
Mm.
So it may keep some people on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Black and white. You know, there's going to be some black people like, no, I'm not buying a house at 1 million rand. I'm going to wait until this expropriation thing
Let's
happens.
Let's expropriate first. And then
I get the house for like 50,000.
Yeah,
sure.
So those kind of things are also going to have an impact.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of houses are for sale right now.
Yes.
But really a lot.
Yes, yes.
And with the new change in the ANC, it's not obvious that people are like, oh, okay, now we can start reinvesting in South Africa. Yes, corporate is very excited.
Yeah, because Mr. McDonald's is in charge. I mean, come on. What I mean,
exactly. And obviously, he didn't touch corporate tax rates.
Yeah, of course not.
I almost talked about tax. That's going to be another subject altogether.
I wanted to get into that, but I just saw the time.
Yeah. Oh, that one. That's a whole hour.
because it's a huge thing where we get payslips and we don't know what the hell's going on.
Absolutely.
I remember seeing my first payslip and I was, what is this buy-in nonsense? They just keep taking my money and nobody tells me what this thing is.
But then you don't care because when you get that rebate,
Yeah.
You know when it says pays you.
But did you get that the first year you were working?
No, I didn't. I wasn't financially literate.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying.
So I didn't check.
From your first paycheck, you know, the first time you receive a payslip, you're like, oh my God, they said I'm getting paid this, but I'm only seeing this. You know, and there's all these line items on your payslip. And
where are they going?
Yeah, what is this? What is all of this stuff?
To be really honest with you, I was really one of those people in the dark who saw a payslip and who then said, oh, this just comes with having a job. Do you know what I mean?
At least you saw it.
At least they're not hiding anything from me.
There's many people who just wait for the SMS. It's like, you just find the pile of payslips just sitting on their
desk. Unopened payslips.
It doesn't matter what's in
and
there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was, you know, Uqiniso is one of the people that has taken me through, realness, you know.
Yeah.
And I was lucky that I found him really early in my work career.
Yeah.
Because I was one of those people that would open my payslip and go, oh, look, 3,000 rand. Okay, so 500 rand went to whoever
buyer
is. You pay as you earn. And then there's this UIF thing. Oh, thank God. They say, just in case I'm unemployed. And then they don't tell you that if you resign, you don't get that money.
You don't get the UIF money.
Yeah, that money is only if you're retrenched or fired or whatever the case is. But I really didn't care because I thought this was transparency and it was great. And I mean, it's a hard journey to take on, a financial advisor, but moreover, a financial advisor who actually has your best interests at heart.
Sure.
Because I've had people to call me who go, oh, let me help you with this. And then you realize, Guti, and like when you are here for your commission, not for me, you know? Yes. And then you get the likes of Q who says to you, I'm like, Q, I want to buy a car. And then he goes, why? And I'm like, what do you mean?
I just saw the new A45.
And that's the thing. I would say to Q, I wouldn't say I want to buy a car. I would tell him exactly the car that I want. And then he tells you, so this is what you earn.
Yeah.
These are the repayments on the car. This is how much you're wasting. And I'm like, thanks for shattering my dreams.
Every
meeting we had, I would feel like he shattered my dreams. But the what he would show me at the end of every meeting, how much money I was making, because then he started asking questions like, what do you want to do? Okay, I want to buy a house. Okay, cool. So you're not in a position to buy a house now, but we can put money away for you to eventually. Cause one of the things is you need to get in the schoa.
The routine.
Yeah. You need to get into the routine of paying for something that you don't have so that when you start paying for it, you don't feel it as much. That for me was like the most foreign concept
world. You've worked with Kuniso.
Yeah. And it's really been for the better. It's made me a better person. Because he'll question stuff like, oh, Q, I want medical aid. Remember that conversation? And he's like, you don't need it. I've never seen you sick.
Yeah.
And you're like, but you need medical aid as a working person. He's like, no, get a hospital plan.
Yeah.
So he demystifies a lot of the things that you think as a working individual.
I don't even know what a hospital plan is.
Yeah, because all they sell you is the fact that you need to be paying the highest medical aid possible. And because, oh my God, I need it because...
I get vitality points.
Exactly.
Yeah, I need it because...
I get a smoothie.
And
these
are the things that I kept telling him is that, but my gym membership is free. And he's like, but you can pay for your own gym membership. And you know, and it's hard truths like that that will make you think, yo, I'm being played, and I'm being played hard. And you go back to the why.
Yeah.
And you actually with a person who is caring about you.
So, you know what I mean? How do we sign up? Because, you know, I think I want to sign up.
Okay.
What do we do? Where do we find Royal Square?
We're at JSE in Sandton.
Okay.
Listen to that. A whole black man in the JSE.
This is a black man.
Yeah.
JSE building.
We're at the JSE complex. Soweto. Yeah. JSE complex. So we're in the Deutsche Bank building.
Okay.
Our office is in Deutsche Bank. That's 3 Exchange Square on Maud Street.
Yeah.
You can email me, which is uniso@royal-square.com. I'm surprised a question you didn't ask me was, what is the dream that I'm chasing?
Yes. What is I was going to ask you that, and also why the name Royal Square?
Oh, Royal Square. That's a full hour.
Oh, really?
To explain that one.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to need you back.
No, I'm happy to come back. But the dream that I'm chasing is I want to create 1 million millionaires.
Nice.
Yes.
I love it. I love it.
And that's it.
Start with
you
me.
Can start with me.
Yes.
So,
a million millionaires.
Nduli, thank you for coming. He's at royal-square.com. 3 Exchange Square, 87 Maud Street, Sandton, Johannesburg. Telephone number 011-784-2282.
That's absolutely amazing. And yeah, get ready to not have 60% of your salary. But
it's
for the best.
Making 1 million millionaires, guys.
Yeah, so if you want to be one of those millionaires.
If you
want to
be a millionaire, jump on. Let's do this thing.
And a real millionaire. Not that if you lose 1 rand, you're no longer a millionaire. Yeah. Because, I mean, we have to be real about that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's really cool. So thank you so much for joining us. It's
thank
been absolutely amazing. Yeah. Andy, do you have anything else to say?
No, that's great. But it's our time, Veda.
That's our time.
We're out. Palace is nodding and saying we're out.
So get
you
out
know,
of
so
here.
This is Andy Lekunene, half man, half amazing, cool as ice and twice as nice. Ain't never had a bad day in my damn life. And we outie.
This is Nolu Tandunkosi, the thick god. Thank you so much for joining us.
This is CliffCentral.com.